It's time for the True Sports Card Show.
The only one-hour radio show that gives you the very latest in sports memorabilia news from around the world.
Here are your hosts, industry expert Imran Palladi and Sactown Sports 49ers insider Emil Fragoso.
The flutes. Me gusta the flutes.
I like them.
Good morning. It's Saturday morning, the 23rd of March. We are here with my co-host, Emil Fragoso.
Hi.
Nate behind the window and a special guest, who's not really a guest much anymore. The man, the myth, the legend, Tim Shepler, a.k.a. Big Shep.
What's up, everybody?
What's up, everybody? Good morning.
The third banana's here.
You're calling me a banana?
No, he's the third banana.
I know, but what are the other two?
The banana boat, obviously.
Oh, my goodness.
The famous banana boat.
What a start to the Saturday
LeBron,
morning.
LeBron, Wade, and Carmelo.
Whoa, what banana am I
can't.
Darko.
Darko banana?
If you went to Carmelo and all those other guys, right?
Oh, my God. Darko? Okay, I got it now. The banana boat guys.
That famous photo of LeBron and vacationing with the Dwayne
Wade. Chris Paul.
And Chris Paul, that's what it was.
Dwayne Wade. Oh. Carmelo was not on the banana boat.
Was he not?
He was hanging out with Ant.
You are the Carmelo of this.
Okay. Got a gold medal.
What a great start to the show.
I know, right?
Great job, guys.
Oh, man.
Way to go.
Crazy.
Excellent. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you here in the YouTube chat if you'd like to say hi.
Please.
About the cards. We've got the screaming goats.
I just wanted to remind everyone that's there.
There's a rumor that Scott Marsh is listening. I can't confirm or deny that. So, Scott, I'd like to apologize ahead of time. The show is much, much worse usually. That's how bad this one is. So.
Yeah.
Here we go. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So let's start off with some housekeeping. We have some events that have been happening or about to happen. Shep, why don't you fill us in with what's going on at the True Sports Cards Ecosphere?
Oh, we got a lot going on. Right now, currently, as Emma and I are sitting here, we're down at the Sacramento show at the Wyndham off 80 and Madison. So we have Pete and Donovan out there, some Ant, a bunch of our teams out there doing cards. We also have the shop open right now. So swing by and say hi to Dave and the crew. And Ethan up at the shop. A lot of things go on. Emran, do you want to start off the show with the breaking news, or we want to hold off that till the end?
I don't know about our show.
About our show.
Oh, we'll load them all up at the front.
Okay.
Let's talk about next Saturday, a week from today. Let's start from that.
Yeah, a week from today, Saturday, the 30th, 3 p.m. at the Roseville Galleria, the True Sports Cards Shop, which right now says American Visions Gallery, next to Rolex, across from Apple. We're going to have Red Velvet, Kevin Herter, signing with us in shop at 3 p.m. Now, there's a caveat. He is injured, and we're waiting for 100% confirmation. He's going to be hanging out with us.
Poor Kevin. Poor Kevin. So we watched it. I actually thought when the game happened, I watched it on the replay, I was not watching the game live, and I get this text message in our group chat that says, oh, no, Herter. That's not a good sign in any way. Let alone the fact that we have an exclusive agreement with Kevin as our exclusive memorabilia partnership with him. And so I watched the replay, and it looked like to me when Bane, I think it was Bane that hit him, right? Desmond Bane, hits him on his arm. I thought he broke his arm. It looked floppy, like he flopped his arm.
Yeah.
But come to find out later that it was a separated shoulder, and now they've confirmed it as a dislocated shoulder and a torn labrum.
Correct.
All right. So, with that said, I talked to his agent this week. They were unsure what was happening. I'm not quite sure what the status is of his signing. They're supposed to update me in the next 24 hours. So coming live on air was a little difficult because I don't have the answers just yet. But here's what I will tell you. For those of you that have a Herter ticket, if for some reason the signing is postponed, of course we're going to refund you your money. You don't have to worry about that aspect of stuff. More importantly, we will be scheduling Kevin for a future date if he is not able to sign this upcoming weekend. So we'll keep you all updated. And that's the beauty of it is if you've bought a ticket, you've registered your email, we will let you know via email as soon as possible, as soon as we can confirm. You know, shouts out to Kevin. I'm hoping that you recover quickly. I've heard that the labrum tear takes anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks if they've confirmed it. This is a tough injury for the Kings just in general.
Yeah.
No matter what Kevin was doing, he's a 6'7" shooting guard, scoring 10 points a game, shooting 38% from three, and he was playing really good defense. He really was. And to have that loss and move Keon into the starting lineup like they have, it weakens the bench. So in general, it's just not a good thing all the way around. But we're pretty fortunate that Kevin may still be signing with us this next weekend, depending on his scheduling of his recovery.
Yep.
He may have to go.
And we got some cool jerseys in of Kevin to sign. We'll have photos and that stuff. So let's keep our fingers crossed that he'll be able to hang out with us and do that. So. Also, yeah, also, man, the Sacramento Autograph and Sports Card Expo that we're putting on May 17th through the 19th. And did you know it's at the grounds in Roseville?
I did know it's at the grounds.
Yes. Did you know, Shep?
Do you know what the website is, Shep?
Yes. TrueSportsCards.com will lead you everywhere you want to go for our show.
But there's this own website for it, Shep. Did you know that too?
No, I don't. What is
it? You don't know?
I can't remember.
It's SacAutographExpo.com, Shep.
We go. And it's even the website created. But listen, again, let's recap the names we're having here. Ricky Henderson, Dennis Rodman, Johnny Manziel, Randy Johnson, Vlad Guerrero Sr., the sixth man of the year, Malik Monk. I'm telling you, he's going to win it.
He's got to
win it. Also, we announced this week, Dave Stewart. And I guarantee she's going to like it too. She's going to love it. Frank the Big Hurt Thomas.
Yes.
Frank Thomas is coming out to hang out with us.
I casually dropped that on a Wednesday.
On just a random Wednesday. Random Wednesday.
You're just dropping names left and right. I was like, there's more?
It me.
There's more?
It me. So for those of you that are interested in getting tickets to the Autograph Expo, which is happening May 17th through 19th, just under 2 months from now, go to truesportscards.com, as Shep said, or as Emran says, go to sacautographexpo.com. And you'll be able to get your tickets for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We'll be announcing what you're going to be getting with. There'll be a swag bag that you'll get for each day that you're attending if you have a ticket for that. We have tickets available for you to pick up for each of the autographed guests. We will be adding a free guest on Friday. We'll be adding a free guest on Sunday with admission. Details to come. I'm still working on those.
Yeah, right. And I'm looking at this list. There's eight people on this list. Five Hall of Famers, a Heisman Trophy winner, a Cy Young Award winner, and a superstar in our current Sacramento Kings. I mean, that's a
fan
lineup.
Favorite.
Yes.
Our Sacramento Kings.
Yes.
They hit the show last year, but I remember.
And this is how we're going to keep him in Sac, is we're going to show him the love so he re-signs here because he loved coming and hanging out with us so much that we're gonna keep him on the Kings for the next handful of years.
And
there's more names to come, right?
There's an interesting lead-in, and let's just quickly talk about this. Malik Monk will be a Sacramento King when he's signing at the Autograph Expo.
Correct.
Hopefully we'll have an extension past that. Yeah. Emil, I know that he is up against his contract right now. And right now, for some reason, it's part of the conversation on the free agency. I don't know why it just bumped up in not only local media, but also in national media. Talk to us about his contract situation.
Yeah, Malik Monk's contract is going to be up after this year. He signed a two-year, I believe, $18 million deal. Not last offseason, but the offseason before that to come join the Kings. And he's been a hit ever since. And there's been some rumors and some reports that he's going to get a deal potentially in the excess of $100 million coming up here from other teams. There's a lot of suitors I have heard. I've heard one of them is the Orlando Magic are interested in potentially adding Malik Monk. It's all rumors and reports hearsay right now until the summer. But if we want to sign Malik Monk, and please, please re-sign Malik Monk, Sacramento, it's going to take a lot of financial income.
I actually have some info on the Malik, why it blew up and all that stuff. Anthony Slater wrote an article, Athletic, right?
Yeah, he works for the Athletic, and then he also writes for the Warriors.
Yeah, so he had a one-on-one with Malik, and Malik, he asked him, he's like, do you like coming off the bench? And Malik just bluntly said, hell no. He doesn't like coming off the bench.
Whoa.
That's how it was. So there's been a lot of debate this week on all of our shows about how that's going to work and if Malik, you know, part of the contract, if he re-signs with the Kings, if he'll get that starting spot. Because no doubt, this dude is at least the third best player on the Kings.
Yeah.
You put him in front of who?
I mean, everyone except Fox and Sabonis.
Okay, I was going to say, so you put him in front of Keegan.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't know. He might be playing better ball than Fox some nights, but I can't say right now.
Fox has been a little inconsistent, so I understand that. I get it.
Photos you took of me are horrible.
Yeah, they're good. Who is the subject of the photo?
I mean, these are horrible photos. I'm trying to think.
I bet you'll like this next topic a little bit more. As we talk, move on.
I bet she'll like it, too.
Yeah, I bet she'll like it, too. No, there were some big things that happened this last week. We had the groundbreaking news that Shohei Ohtani's longtime interpreter and now former interpreter, Yippee Mazahara, was using funds of Otani's to do some offshore gambling.
Or as I like to call him now, show me the money! Anyway.
Somebody took Shohei's face and put it on Pete Rose's body. Oh, would that not? Gosh. And they said, is this not the greatest baseball player of all time? Yeah. So ESPN reported about $4.5 million in wire transfers were sent from Otani's bank account in California to bookmaker, who's under federal investigation. And Mazahara, who's his longtime interpreter, was fired Wednesday by the Dodgers because of this. And so do you believe that the interpreter just took the heat for Shohei? Or do you believe it was him doing it and Shohei was maybe aware, not aware, but looked the other way?
100% it was the interpreter.
Yeah.
100% it was the interpreter. Look, Shohei's been a very private guy.
Yeah.
Not only in the world of baseball, but just outside in life. I mean, we just found out that he was married. Last week.
And she's like a superstar basketball player?
In Japan. Yeah. We had no idea. No one knew he was even married or who he was involved with. Shohei's a very private person. So while it's possible he could be private for...
I apologize, guys. Sorry. You know what I mean? Okay, little behind the curtains. Yeah. Little behind the curtains. Nate just said something in our earpieces.
Yeah.
That froze the chat.
Froze me.
Yes.
Very rarely I get frozen from that one.
I didn't mean to ruin the show. I'm sorry.
Nate, we'll see you in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Well, just don't cuss is what I was saying.
Yes.
Because I'll be right back. Sorry to ruin your show.
I wasn't sure what he was referring.
I thought I said something.
No, I was trying to say it quiet in your ear just to let you know.
I was like, wait, what?
I was getting sweet whispers. Hey,
before you leave, can I get a goat?
You are the goat.
Thank you.
There we go. I've said things before and not realized it. So.
Oh, I have too. That's why I was confused.
We're acting like we're podcasters right now.
Yes.
But we're on the radio.
We're live, baby.
We don't edit this stuff out like a podcast.
Hey, listen. I did a live podcast
before. This is horrible.
We did it. Yeah, there's no rope. There's no barriers. Then,
all right.
Just roll through.
Otani's wife, basketball superstar.
Thank you.
Private guy.
It's always possible he could be private for other reasons, including the gambling situation. He could have been involved, possibly. I just don't see it. And from reading reports coming out from Jeff Passan and other ESPN reporters, people that have talked with the interpreter, who is now taken back one story and given out another because of the attorneys, I believe that it was the interpreter that was taking funds out of Shohei's account or finding ways out of it. And maybe Shohei knew about it, but I don't think it was Shohei placing those bets. And even players have come out, not said names, but have come out and said, Shohei's not like that. He doesn't really watch other sports or anything like that. He's really just focused on baseball. So I definitely think it was the interpreter that was kind of behind all this. And it's unfortunate to see that this is a reality now for a guy who just signed a mega deal with the Los Angeles Dodgers.
And I do believe, honestly, the way baseball works and the commissioner, if it was something, I think at this point they're just going to look into it and then they're going to look the other way. We're not going to hear anything of this because of his status. And they don't want another Pete Rose thing, especially with Shohei being the face of baseball and everything right now. All I know is I learned from him he's married and having a superstar wife, basketball player. I'm investing in Shohei Ohtani Jr. right now. Not even sure if that'll ever come, but that's who I'm putting future bets on. That kid will be amazing.
Like how tall is he going to be?
All right, so
he's
in disagreement with both of you.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
This comes from
experience of knowing people in the backgrounds.
Yeah.
All right. There's no way that somebody's going to have access to my bank account for $4.5 million worth of spend without me knowing. Shep has been working with me since the beginning. He has access to our account for our company. If I saw $1 missing, I would let Shep know that I would go, what's going on here?
He seen my bot on Amazon for $5.
I didn't authorize that. To see $4.5 million missing, I don't care what you make, you're going to notice it's missing.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're, in my opinion, you're aware of it. I think the other issue that I see here is somebody's got to take the fall. The translator falls on the sword. Mm-hmm. They are really good friends.
Very close.
Very close. And I think the other portion of this is that you're right, Shep. He is the face of baseball.
Yep.
And the last time that we had a gambling issue with somebody that was the face of the sport, it happened to be a guy named Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Yeah.
Who retired.
For 2 years?
For 1.5 years. Yep. Retired to play baseball.
Yeah.
Boy, that doesn't that seem kind of unique?
Yes.
And the conspiracy theorists out there, and I've believed it more now that I'm an adult and looking into it, that was a hiatus that was forced upon him.
Yes, and then also, too, the bizarre murder of his dad, because he was found off the side of a highway in his car, and there's things believed that Michael owed money to some people, and he didn't. He said, "I'm Michael Jordan, I'm not paying you." And
we're not saying that this happened.
No, but
that is
but this
factual.
Is all
that is factual.
All his dad was murdered and found in a car off the side of the highway. People have put together, because of where his dad was found and all these other things, it goes into why he was suspended and a bunch of things put to, you know, it's, the NBA was weird. And again, it goes back to Patrick Ewing lottery, David Stern covering things.
I mean, look, there's big business. And when you have the face of the
sport,
the highest profile free agent, the most paid person ever in team sports, this is a mess.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we're really, it's kind of quiet, strangely enough, even though it's everywhere, it's not as everywhere as it should be. Like, this is a very, very, very big deal.
It is.
And I think that this, in the hobby aspect of things, will affect his prices. I think that baseball of all sports is the most shake your finger at the bad actors out there. That's why we have the Pete Rose issue. He accepted baseball betting being a problem. He accepted a lifetime ban, and he's later said, "Look, I did it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I bet on baseball." And there's still absolutely not integrity of the game. Meanwhile, we have racists and murderers in the Hall of Fame.
Bigots and all
the Ty Cobbs of the world.
Yep.
But Pete Rose bet on baseball, and he bet on his own team, but he bet on his own team to win. He never bet on his own team to lose.
Yeah.
I think there is an integrity of the game portion that we have to think about with the betting. It really comes down to, is it Calvin Ridley who decided to bet into a NCAA pool, like a million people did in the United States, or is somebody betting and has the influence to affect the game?
Yeah.
I'd really be interested to see where these bets were placed and what games or sports these bets were placed. I don't see anything yet.
No. And usually there's that report comes out. And I'm also concerned, too. MLB is one of the sports that's the professional leagues, partnering with gambling sites as a major sponsor or, you know, partner. So to me, it's odd. It's like if they partnered with a steroid dealer, then to be, oh, yeah, these are great. Take them. Use them.
Yeah.
But if our players do, nope, you're out of the league. It's just, it's a weird spot to be in. And the reason they're doing it, there's so much money there. There is so much money with betting and all this gambling, and it, to me, it's there's a lot more to the story. We're not seeing it.
For the hobby aspect,
yep.
I really do believe this will affect his prices, or it may not affect his prices, but it'll affect his collectability. People won't be as interested in doing that. We have all kinds of examples of the hobby shaking their finger. Ask Tatis if his cards have recovered.
Yep.
Right? They have not. Wander's done and toast. I'm trying to think of other ones that have been. Go back a little bit. Ryan Braun.
Yeah.
Ryan Braun, the baseball player.
Karl Malone now. Like
Karl Malone.
Hall of Famer. No one. Yeah.
Stockton.
No one cares.
Same thing.
Yep.
Who?
Stockton.
John Stockton.
The COVID, all that stuff came
all
out.
That stuff. Yeah.
Was people just were like, okay, cool.
I'm out.
I mean, there's, it's easy to cancel people out in 2024. Because non-factual information comes out often. And that's why I want to be careful when we're saying stuff like, oh yeah, Jordan's dad this. And I just want to be careful because it's factual that he was killed. What's not factual is how to tie anything into it. So I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that show that just does a bunch of speculation.
Yeah. About that card, just to put in the chat, Josh Giddey as well. Another good example.
Yeah.
Just and this year.
Yeah. Josh Giddey as well. And he was cleared from that. So there's a lot of things that ends up happening to where people are not forgiving. And it really comes down to it to where I think Ohtani is one of those guys that may get a pass, strangely enough, because he's so popular and so many people are in the
people
hobby.
People don't
of
want
investing.
It to be true. That's what it is. People
he's larger than baseball. He's larger than baseball right now, I'd say. I think he's bigger than the MLB. He is the biggest star they have had in a very, very long time. And he's
playing in the second largest market in the United States.
Exactly. Everything has fallen in line for this guy to be the breadwinner for however long the MLB wants to be around. It's this guy's going to be the one. And for this to come out right with the start of the season as well is just such a bad, bad look.
He said there's a about the cards. I'm guessing it's your buddy.
It's probably Steph, yeah.
Yeah, and he's saying, trivia for the chat, what year was the last Pete Rose Topps card? It's not in 1989. What? Do you know the answer?
Yeah, it is. Is it 88?
No, he says when was the last one?
Oh, I think it was 89.
He's 89 is the manager.
It's, yeah. it's not 89, though, he said.
Oh.
So
he's saying it was...
Was he in, like, a Topps now?
I'm sure he's in a lot of that kind of stuff.
Oh, yes. Steph has
would they do, like, a knowledge. Throwback for him, like, recently? Or the MLB
he,
one?
You know what?
That?
I know, because he can't be in cards, but there was a picture, I believe, where Pete's... And it was a team, like, a throwback card of the Reds.
He's in cards.
He's in a picture, but not Topps cards.
No, he's in Leaf. He's in a bunch of other ones.
But Topps put out a card where he's in it.
Oh.
And Major League logos on it and all that stuff. Oh, yeah, wow. I remember that was
the
a couple
answer's
years
in
ago.
The chat.
He says 1991.
Okay.
Well, I looked in the Beckett from 1990 the other day, and Pete Rose was number one on the cold list.
Yes,
so.
That was fun.
All right, let's move on.
Yeah, your buddy Jimmy Spence made some moves this last week.
He did. Tell us about it.
Yeah, he sold. He's Certified Collectibles Group, CCG, the leader in authentication and grading collectibles. They announced they are acquiring James Spence Authentication, one of the big leaders in the autograph authentication. We know James, and we work Jimmy and his team quite a bit. They're going to combine their efforts to do one seamless autograph collecting, authentication, grading, encapsulation, and be the top. They're trying to go after be a top dog. So what does this mean for the future of JSA and CCG? What do you see them doing? How does this help them out? Why would they do this partnership at this time?
Well, a couple things. First of all, shout out Jamie. Congratulations, my friend. He's one of the great guys in the business. He was an interview guest with us about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And I had texted him about 10 minutes after the word got out. I got a phone call from one of the reps high up at Spence Authentication about 10 minutes before the story broke. They're like, Cameron, you work with us often. We love you, blah, blah, blah. And this is about to happen. And I was like, oh, okay. Because when you hear news like that, you're thinking, what happens to not only the company, but what happens to my relationships?
Yep.
Is it going to be replaced with a bunch of different new people that I just won't know who they are? Do I go to the back of the line again? There's a lot of things that go through your head as a business person. But I'm happy for Jimmy. I'm happy for the rest of their team. I will tell you that one of the things that we as a company sub for PSA and SGC for graded cards. And as we know, Collectors, the parent company of PSA, bought SGC roughly about four weeks ago, it was the talk of the hobby.
Yeah, it was.
And I've been pushing for them being SGC, to grade and authenticate on-card autographs that are not pack-pulled. I went to the ballpark. I had Kevin Herter sign it. Mm-hmm. I said ballpark, and then I went Kevin Herter. Went to the arena. I had Kevin Herter sign it. I'm going to submit it, and I'm going to get PSA DNA to authenticate it and slab it. SGC used to do it. They didn't do it again. I've been bugging them forever to do it because the only option you had was PSA DNA. There was no other. Oh, yeah. Beckett too, but
yeah.
I'm just not a fan of Beckett's grading system. I'm a fan of the baby. Fan of the baby.
Thank you.
Beckett, yeah.
Good to know.
So here we are. CSG, or Certified Collectibles Group, CCG, same company, is stepping into that. I think by getting JSA on their team, they're going to be rivaling PSA DNA of getting encapsulated cards. Now, mm-hmm. I've said this before in past shows. On the West Coast, for some reason, memorabilia doesn't resonate the same way it does on the East Coast. And one of the big things that doesn't resonate out here is autograph encapsulated cards. I don't know why. I don't get it. Because getting a signed rookie card and having it encapsulated and having that auto grade, that's a huge, huge deal. And I own a lot of that stuff. Mm. But on the East Coast, when I'm at a Philly show or the Chantilly show or something in in Southern Florida, these shows are inundated with autographed signed cards that have been slabbed by PSA DNA, and they sell like crazy. There's a premium. They do really well. I just don't get it. Maybe sometime on the West Coast, they'll stop looking past shiny, and they'll actually see, hey, you know what's neat?
Yeah.
I have a Jerry West autographed card on his rookie that's been slabbed and graded a gem mint 10 on the auto grade.
Yeah, no, I think it's because in California, we're a little snooty, and we want that pack pulled.
Oh, yeah.
And I can tell you, I was personally, before working with Imran, that in-person auto to me was like, meh. Sitting down, talking with him, experiencing, getting to meet the player, getting to sign the card, and having that experience, then getting it encapsulated later in my collection has been amazing. I love it. And now it's like my thing is when we have these guys come, I get them an autograph. I mean, I had an 86 Donruss Jose Canseco that I had him sign, and I got to talk to Jose, and he signed it for me. And that's a card that was $100 when I was a kid. It's maybe $5, $10 card now, depending on the condition. But when he signed it, I was like one of the – that's in the highlight moment of my collecting career because, mm-hmm. like, this was the mantle of my childhood. And to have it signed and meet the guy, I mean, it was super cool. And now I have it, and there's a story. So I think, too, there's some intrinsic value into that. But also, too, them building that collection of saying, like, hey, look, I got this collection of Hall of Fame autographed rookie cards. And when you look down and see it, it's quite amazing to see, like, some of these guys maybe not around anymore and to acquire their autographs. And
I will say this, too. I was doing some pricing last night. We bought a collection, and I was doing some pricing of slabs last night. And there was just a mix of slabs. The majority were PSA slabs. Then there was a couple Beckett slabs. And there was a couple CSG slabs. Dude, I'm telling you, they have the best slabs in the business. They really do. They're beautiful. They feel they have like rounded corners. So it sounds weird, but if you ever get your hands on a CSG slab, they're awesome. Very clean. And they even have a pristine, which PSA doesn't have. They have Gem Mint 9.5s, and then they have pristine 10s, and the pristine pops. When you see the actual, maybe Emil, if you could take a look and see what that would look like, it's pretty incredible how their slabs look. And their value is creeping. I would tell you that it's probably equivalent with Beckett's value right now as far as cards are concerned. If a PSA card is $100, a PSA 10, I would say an SGC 10 is roughly in the modern market, roughly about 85% of that value. And then I would say that Beckett is somewhere around 80-ish percent. I think CGC is right around that same thing.
Yeah, they're nice cards. They're very nice looking cards.
Beautiful slabs.
They are.
And so if they come in with autographic encapsulation on top of their grading, and CSG, CGC, whatever combination, there's a bunch of different combinations depending on what division that they're grading. They are number one in comic books. They're number one in that. I believe they do coins as well.
Yes.
And they do non-sport. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of that stuff is really kind of popping right now. So congrats to JSA. I talked to Jimmy via text, and he said that he has a media run that he needs to do and get some information out there to the world on their own control. But he's going to be a guest here in the next couple weeks. And we'll get, well, he's already confirmed that.
Wonderful.
So we'll get him here in probably mid-April to kind of give us the idea of what that looks like. All right, so we've got quite a few things in the chat here. Big Chef Speaking Facts is Crypto Panda.
Fans.
It's
my burner account.
Is it?
It's my burner account. I had to log into my phone real quick and put that in
Big
there.
Big Chef is beautiful.
Yes.
Big Chef
He's
is
a
smart.
Handsome man. Yeah, and Andy Broom is now the head grader. So that Andy Broom worked for Beckett for a long time, mm-hmm. really well respected. So that's he works with CCG. So that's a good thing over there. So that hopefully they can do some cool stuff and, you know, get those slabs, and that'd be awesome.
I just think that,
because you've been bugging JSA about slabbing cards
forever.
So maybe this is what spurned Jimmy's like, hey, Emran said who slabs cards that doesn't have do autograph authentication. Emran told me, hey, CCG, Emran said I should partner with you.
He said buy us so that way I can
do what
finish
Emran wants.
Dreams.
I can complete it. Yes.
Tops Dynasty is a big conversation this week. Talk to us, Shep.
It is a big boy price. So Tops Dynasty dropped. So the product comes out on a Wednesday. The checklist didn't drop until like real late on Tuesday, and there was a huge surprise on it.
Oh, yeah.
Tops has an exclusive deal with a basketball player.
Well, there's only two. There's only two Dynasty products.
Yes.
Baseball
and F1.
F1. That's right.
And wild pricing. But no, you can get Victor Wembanyama rookie patch autographs.
He's pretty good.
Yes. Rookie patch autographs in Topps Dynasty. It's going to be the first one because, unfortunately, Panini's not able to produce cards with an autograph of Victor. But Topps has that. And they put him on a card with another guy who's a little smaller, 6'9", however tall Judge is. He could be 7'3", I don't know. He's over 6'6".
I wouldn't say he's small.
Yeah, Judge and Victor on the same dual card. And it also, there's one where he drew like aliens and stuff because LeBron calls him the alien.
Oh, he drew mustache on his face.
Yes,
he did. This is Victor drawing on Victor.
Victor, yeah.
It's a one of one.
Yeah, drawing on his own card.
Yeah, he draws like a mustache.
By the way, pretty good handwriting. Pretty good penmanship.
Yeah, he's
better than some in the room right now.
Or Pete.
Yeah.
Pete from our store.
You slandered Dave last week. Now it's Pete. I like it. Did you just pull a name out of the hat?
It's just a roast. $1,300 for this box of Topps Dynasty. You're getting a lot of cards in it. You're getting two. Oh, one.
Oh, wow.
You're getting one card.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck.
One pack, one card.
Good luck.
But again, you're talking this is the top tier of Hall of Famers, like super duper stars, like Trout, Ohtani. Like my guy George Brett could make the list.
Each card is numbered 10 or less.
Yes.
And you're getting an on-card autograph relic. Now, the relics are game-used, including jersey patches, event baseballs, and batting gloves. And you're also seeing stuff from WBC, the World Baseball Classic, as well.
Yes.
So there's a lot of unique stuff in here. You're probably going to get crushed. Okay?
Well, I mean...
What's the price point?
$1,300.
That's
But you're getting an on-card auto that's numbered to 10 or less, or it could be a one of one as well. So are you
justify
it
any way you want. You're going to get crushed. And you're going to get crushed more than half the time.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, because even if you pull a Trout out of 10.
You know what I don't want to be? Let me just say this to them.
Try to paint a picture.
This is what I want to tell our audience. I'm not going to be telling you, this is awesome. And I'm internally going, can you believe I said that was awesome? It's not.
You're not going to go, bang!
No, yeah. This is
bang!
Just...
Bang! Rafael Devers out of 10.
Look, if you have expendable income, there are far better options than a $1,300 one shot pack. Now, you're not gonna get the same type of level cards when you're buying a box of 2024 Series 1 baseball tops for $100, okay? Mm-hmm. It's just not gonna happen. So, of course, risk versus reward. But I think it's really important for us to state the true facts of it all.
If there's a certain one you're looking besides the Wimby card, right, and you want that Trout or you're a Devers collector, whoever's in that set that you're trying to get, just take the $1,300 and try to go buy the card itself because you're probably going to have a really good chance at getting the card you want.
Well, here's the other option. You take the $1,300, you give it to Shohei Ohtani, and he turns it into?
$1,000,000.
There you go.
Zero.
There's that option, too.
He might be a really bad gambler.
Well, but you know what they say? They say, you know, that... You know, the best way to become a millionaire is start by being a billionaire and gamble.
Yes.
It's true.
Ask Charles. So who's, I have a question. Who, quote, is collecting Wimby? Aren't just people collecting Wimby to flip him?
Yes.
And if you say you're collecting Wimby, you're full of it because you're collecting it because you want to sell it later for more money than what you paid.
I have a disagreement on that.
Okay.
I'm collecting Wimby because I like Wimby. I think he'd be the greatest basketball player of all time. I think that's very much a possibility with this guy, and that's why I'm any Wimby I kind of want, unless I get an outrageous offer, I'm holding.
And you're more in the minority in this, and it's not a wrong thing. Mm-hmm. I love to collect, but the issue is I think people say they're collecting him. It's just because I can buy him for $15 today and sell him for $100 tomorrow because of whatever. I saw the guy play live in person. I've watched the highlight. It's like anything I've ever seen
before.
The
dunk he had last night was ridiculous.
Oh, how about that three-pointer from like between
the
three-point line and
half-court?
He
starts
the
game with a logo three, and then he blocks G.D. Jackson on one end and runs up the floor and somehow grabs the ball from the free throw line.
Can we throw him in the dunk contest?
That was sick, and you know what else? They lost.
Yes, and they're not winning.
Because they're not a good team.
No.
99-97 last night.
To the G League Grizzlies.
Yes.
But...
So that's my question.
He's amazing.
Yeah. Like, you look at his stat line. He did something that only David Robinson's done since 1990. It was like the 20 to 15, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, whatever. He had a whole bunch of boards and rebounds and blocks and steals, all that stuff. It's just different. But I don't – what are you doing? I mean, you said you're collecting unless you get a crazy one. Mm-hmm. Imran, you have you're moving on as fast as you can, right? You're selling it before you got it.
I talked to Tommy last weekend, owner of NorCal Sports Cards. I caught him at the show in San Francisco. We talked for a little bit. And he told me some true facts that are way, way, way different than what the narrative has been out there regarding the Wimby one of one that was pulled in the store. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not my story to tell. Tommy has his own YouTube channel. And what he told me really opened my eyes to what wasn't given to the general public, okay? And there was definitely some PSA eyes watching the item being cleaned.
Yes.
Okay. That's a fact from what I heard. Here's where I'll leave it to you. And it wasn't any kind of modification to it. I want to be really clear.
It cleaned it.
It was like, let me say that, okay. Emil. Don't say anything because I don't want us to get in trouble here.
Okay.
It was a wipe. It was a wipe cleaning. There was nothing. There was no craziness put on there, and that came straight from them. And I just hope that that information gets out there because the internet is ablaze regarding this card.
Yeah.
Okay. In what I've learned, they did nothing wrong. Okay. So just I want to state that as a fact. We have a responsibility as a radio station show to say that. So I didn't want any words put in my mouth. Sorry, Emil. I just want to make sure it was clear.
No, I get you.
Because this is $1 million card.
Yeah, if not more. And
I just saw on Whatnot, is it up for auction? I just saw it because I know that they turned down an offer. It's not my business telling me what the offer tell what the offer was.
Yeah.
Pretty significant. I will tell you this. Shep, your question was, would you move on from Wemby? In a heartbeat.
Yeah.
The second that I would get a card that had a value that I was comfortable with taking, I'd take it in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
Emil is a different game because you're playing the long game and make sure. Here's what worries me. He's better than everybody I'm about to name. Sean Bradley, Jorge Mirazon, Benute Bol.
Yao Ming.
I'm making all these comments as semi-joke, but as a guy that knows, like I was friends with Mark Eaton before he passed away. Mark Eaton's 7'4". Mm-hmm. Mark Eaton had what they determined was a heart attack while he was riding his bike. Now he lived into his 50s, etc. But just the body structure, when you're 7'3", your heart has to do a lot more work than a regular sized person. And your heart, your body, your limbs, everything. And so you don't see a lot of longevity in really tall people in the case of sports.
Mm-hmm.
They live long lives. Yao Ming is now nice and chubby, actually, at 7'1" or 2".
Kareem's still kicking it.
Who?
Kareem.
Kareem's still kicking it. So you have all these guys that live long lives, but as far as their playing game, as far as their peak, they're not as extended out like a LeBron or somebody that's going to be there for a long time.
Yao's feet failed him. He played, 8-9 years?
Yep.
And they were great productive years, except for the very end. I think the last 2 or 3 seasons, he was in and out.
He was broken down.
Greg Oden came into the league, was going to be a monster, looked great, and he couldn't stay healthy. So that's the one thing that scares me with him being so tall. Now, you look at somebody like Shaq, who is 7'1", 300-and-something pounds. 7'1", once you get over, I think, 7', 7'1", and you're getting 2'3", 7'4", those guys are longevity, just the way they're built. You look at Victor's body style, he's skinny. And, that's the thing with Chet that scares me a little bit, and with him. And, Sangoon's a little bit like that, but it's just...
That's why
that's why I'm cautioning on Wemby. And if someone offered me over $1 million for a card, I don't care really who it is. My wife would, she would be like, "You're selling the card. I'm leaving you and taking half." So,
Shaq had the most dominant years. Shaq had his most dominant years from '92 to 2008.
Yeah.
So Magic, Lakers, and Heat. But he played an additional 4 years after that.
Ooh.
And the teams were the Phoenix Suns,
the Cavs,
Cleveland Cavaliers, and the Boston Celtics.
And he was Fat Shaq.
Oh, and he was just.
He's
like,
better shape now.
Is that?
Yeah, he is.
Is that baby? What's his name?
Wait, is that Oliver Miller?
Is that Big Baby?
Is that Oliver Miller?
Like he had really unproductive years.
Yeah.
And those were years 32 years old, 34 years. As soon as he hit his early 30s, he was already peaked, but he was so dominant during that time. We think of him as a top 4 center of all time. But the point of what I'm getting at is Victor will get bigger. He just turned 20 in January. Mm-hmm. The guy's maturity is off the charts.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his head on straight. I think that he's going to be a force for a long time to come, but there's no bigger time to invest in a dude than when they're at the brink of the end of their rookie year.
Yeah.
He's really, that's where you see the meteoric rise. And I don't know. I mean, Fanatics is putting their money behind this guy.
Yeah.
He is their horse.
As they should.
And so we don't know what that'll look like going forward, but he's what? How many days away from beginning rookie of the year, probably less than 2 months from getting rookie of the year. Yeah. And he's now running away with it. Chet and him were like, "Ooh, who's going to win?" He's running away with
I
this
mean,
thing.
He kind of ran away when he blocked Chet's shot at the point of attack, but okay.
Okay, yeah, that's what
that's the, where it changed right there.
Well, and now it's like there's a nightly highlight of him doing something whimsical that we haven't seen a guy that big
what,
do.
What yeah. he did last night was insane. Not only did he block the shot, who is it against?
G.G. Jackson. G.G. Jackson. Out of his mind,
I mean, it was like a volleyball spike
yeah.
shot. He grabs it. He races down the floor as the lead person on the fast break. He passes it. They throw it back to him. I think it was Vassell that threw an alley-oop to him.
Yeah.
And he double-clutched, jumping from like three-quarters of the free-throw line and just double-clutched, dunked it.
Is yeah. he a monster?
And I was like, dude, this is ridiculous. You're straight up Space Jam right now.
Yes, and put him in the dunk contest. Victor, hop in the dunk contest.
That would be so awesome if he did a dunk where he never left the ground. What if he just stretched and just dunked?
Oh my God.
He probably could.
Somebody else do this. Come out. Somebody else yeah. should come out and do yeah. this.
This is the Ian horse that we're about to play. Wemby, in the grand scheme of things, a mill is a hold. I'm a get rid of it. If I had the one of one, black shimmer, but that is a, oh, not a black shimmer, it was black. It was the black prism, one
yeah,
of one.
Yeah.
And it got graded a PSA 10. It'd be out of my hand so fast because it's a life-changing dollar.
And that's different. Again, if I was put in that position of offered that much money, I would definitely think about it. Absolutely, because that is life-altering money. I think with Wemby, as a basketball fan myself and watching his progression, I think he's going to be more on the Kareem side of things and the Shaq side, because I think he understands how to be a professional at such a young age.
That's
really important.
Let's talk about this. So what happens when a card gets pulled, the card gets pulled? So we're fortunate enough in Northern California to pull some big cards at shops.
Yeah.
And we at Tree Sports Cards had our customer pull the CJ Stroud one of one out of the mosaic. Now, we knew that the Prism one of one will be a bigger card and obviously has been. But at the time, the mosaic football, there was no bigger card of CJ Stroud that was pulled in the entire world except for the one that came out of our shop. So we saw that. Now, the question is, and Shep, you've been doing this a long time and more recent, does the product's value go down as an unopened product once the massive card has been hit? We saw that recently with, I believe it was Definitive, when there was two cards. There was an Ohtani one of one with Babe Ruth and an Ohtani one of one with Babe Ruth. One was a pitching, one was a hitting.
Yes.
And the Definitive, it was Definitive was the product. Yep. And the pitching one was pulled the first day.
Yep.
So what happens to a product, Shep?
There's a drop. I mean, it's not a significant drop, but now that both the black, one of ones, the shimmer and the true black, your daddy's black, as some people call it, like the original black parallel, both got pulled, you will see a drop in the market in these boxes. But again, it becomes a little more affordable, and now the average guy is able to collect that product a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't help, a shop when you go and you buy a product at a price and it falls down because the market or card gets pulled, the market changes a little bit.
Yeah.
But still, there are other color in that. There are other numbered Wembys, and again, this is what I love. It's a love-hate with him not having a Panini exclusive deal so we can have rookie autographs and Panini product with him. But what it does is it takes it back to what I call 90s collecting, where refractors are cool.
Yeah.
These numbered cards of Wemby from no matter what set you're collecting, if it's especially like Court Kings, super sneaky product this year with the different levels of rookies and Wembys in there. But these Wemby rookies will continue to hold value, so it's still a good product. But yes, I think we'll see a small decline in box pricing, especially for the hobby box.
Or interest.
Yes, but I think there'll be more. I think you're going to see retail those mega boxes, those blasters, people are going to still chase those, definitely. I think we're going to see, and those will stay, but I think the hobby box will come down to a little bit in price, but it should be because it's to me, it's way too expensive for what you're getting. I feel bad, but that's what the market is, and I'm in this, and I still don't understand the market sometimes on these products.
They're selling from between $10.50 and $11.50 a box.
Yes.
Right now, we have it underpriced on our shelf at the moment. I was just thinking to myself,
Well,
we're underpriced. We have a good value on it. We only have two boxes left. We're under $1,000.
Yeah.
So I anticipate that if somebody's there at our shop, they're going to end up picking up these boxes because we're underpriced by about $100, then mark it. But I don't know. Emil, do you stop buying a box? You're a ripper. So do you stop buying a box if you know that the biggest card is gone?
It'll sway me. Be in consideration for sure. It'll sway me potentially from buying the box, but I'll also be thinking about, okay, And I, and again, this is why I'm very invested in the collecting part of it. I go through card ladders, see what the sales have been, see how many of what's been pulled, because I know there are different parallels out there, and I do a lot of research. I mean, the Prism Cracked Ice Blue of Wemby Prism went to 125, sold for $4,000 last month. That was to 125. You wouldn't say that's amazingly rare. It's to, there's 125 copies.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot of value even in these boxes for the price of it. It's just, do you want to take that gamble knowing you cannot get the best of the best because it's already been pulled?
I think the what ends up happening is the product stays liquid and high priced. If something unique is going on outside of the actual value of the card. So how much is a Connor Bedard card? 2023-24 tops, excuse me, Upper Deck Series 2 rookie card, one of one going for. Is it worth a certain amount? It's worth a certain amount, but because Dave and Adams have put out a bounty for $1 million for that card.
The Young Guns one, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The card's worth $1 million because
somebody put a price on it.
And if that one of one was pulled, it's a, just a regular card. It's not autographed. It doesn't have anything to it. It's just stamped one of one. If that card is pulled, what would it sell on the open market if it didn't have a bounty on it? Probably 80,000?
No. I still think he would be in the hundreds of thousands because he is what they're looking as the Connor the new Connor McDavid, the new superstar in hockey. He is their guy that they have not had in 5 to 8 years come into the league.
But their premium product is the cup.
Correct.
So if they did a one-on-one version of the cup, then that would exceed the value of that.
But the problem with that is that in its Upper Deck's production, the cup from 2 years ago just was released 2 months ago.
Agreed. Yeah,
they're so far behind. Bernard will be a veteran when his rookie card comes out.
Yeah.
But people in hockey, and I don't collect hockey. I don't watch hockey. I'd love to. I didn't as a kid, so it's not in me to do it.
Playoff hockey over everything. Anyway.
Yeah. And the playoff beards too. Yeah. But I have, you know, friends that do collect hockey, so I ask them every year, what young guns do I get? Because it is the card that you want of that guy. Mm-hmm. And so when they have this one of one platinum. Yeah.
It's like Prism versus like NT.
Yes. Yeah. And it still holds that. There's something about it that with hockey collectors, it's been there since day one. When Upper Deck came out in 1990, the young gun was in there. It's not in every pack. You only get 6 young gun rookies a box. It's the only way to get a rookie card.
You know, it's like
they put value into it.
It's like 89 Griffey.
Correct.
Oh, I have an 89 Griffey rookie card, and then you go, "That's awesome!" And then you see it, and then they show you the Donruss version, and you're like, "Oh, that's cool." But we all are thinking upper deck. Yeah, we're all thinking
that.
Upper Deck.
And so when you think his rookie card, you're going to think that young gun.
Yeah. So that's, I would tell you that I just feel like, knowing checklists are really important. Understanding what's a redemption versus not. Like for example, NT basketball 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when the LaMelo year, all that stuff was redemption in a lot of cases. So when does the redemption end? When Panini loses their license with the league in 5 years, would that redemption still be valid? Probably not. I don't even think he signed his cards.
No, he didn't. He didn't sign. There's a whole bunch of unredeemed redemptions. And,
so as products get older and you know there's redemptions in them and it's unlikely to get pulled, that you're going to get the redemption signed, it's a tough place to be in because you're sitting there going, you know, do I even invest in this box knowing that I can't get the major card? Because at least if you're buying it and opening it within the time frame of a redemption, you're going to get the likely redemption card in your hand.
It goes back. 2020 Bowman had a Luis Robert in it, and he was a redemption auto. When that expired earlier this year, or last year it was because it's 3 years, those box prices got cut in half. Because it was him and Bobby Witt. They were the two big chase cards in that for autographs. And when his redemption was expired, those box prices went boop, boop, and
fell out. But did you see what ended up happening? So do you remember who's the Topps Chrome that had Wander on the front of it? What year is that, 22?
Yep. Yeah.
So they screwed up because they didn't include some of the rookies in there. Correct. So they made it up by the doing silver packs.
Yep.
And the Louis Robert cards, the Louis Robert cards that didn't go into
Topps Chrome. The year before, or 2 years before.
Went into the silver packs.
Yes, because we had a customer pull it, remember?
Yeah, it was nuts. So they took unredeemed cards and went, well, what are we supposed to do with them? Well, we screwed up over here, so let's put them in these silver packs that we're going to give away. Unique situations. This leads to our final thing that I want to talk about before we end our show. We're going to end in about 7 minutes. Let's talk about this. 2024 Topps Chrome UFC.
Oh.
and I'm pointing at Emil because he loves this stuff. The guy was texting me, hey, mate, are you up? I'm like, yo, what's up? You got the UFC Chrome coming in? Anybody?
I just hopped in the break the other night with you guys.
Yeah, so Emil is a big fan. Talk about the product, Emil. You can pull up the information.
Right,
yeah,
one
so
second.
Emil is a huge fan of not only UFC, but he also loves on-card autos, specifically of these fighters. Emil, go ahead and tell us about the UFC. It came out this past week.
Yeah.
It's been a hot seller for us. Talk to us.
Yeah, this is the what makes this unique this year is that it came out of nowhere, too, because Panini had the license for, what, felt like, 3 years, and that's it? And then all of a sudden, UFC just took it back. Or Topps just took it back. They took back UFC with the acquire of TKO, which is now under the same umbrella of UFC and WWE. Topps got that license back. So now Topps is in charge of UFC and WWE products again. So Topps Chrome came back. Now, what makes Topps Chrome interesting? Topps Chrome is interesting because that's what it used to be a part of using during the 2010s with Jon Jones, Conor McGregor. It was all Topps Chrome. Now, inside the box, two autos, 24 refractor cards, 20 unnumbered base parallels, and then four numbered base parallels and 20 insert cards. Eight cards per pack, 12 packs per box is the breakdown. And what I like about this product, though, is that it's at an affordable price. I mean, Emmer, what do they have?
We have it at $249. That's $249 a box.
For two autos? That's affordable.
And they're on card. Let me step back for a second.
Majority.
Are they on card? Yeah, almost all of them.
The Aspinall, I'm pretty sure, was a sticker that I
yes.
Yeah.
Did you get that card?
Yes.
Good for you.
Yeah.
And we also have blasters for 30 too.
$30 for the blasters. Taste. Now, here's the unique thing that Topps has been doing, and I love their gimmicks. I really do. They've been doing a really good job. Remember, Topps is owned by Fanatics. I love their gimmicks, and they used the Topps buyback program this past year for Topps Chrome. So what they did was they said, buy Topps Chrome and save who you believe is going to win the MVP, because those will be redemptions at your local card shop, ones that participate like us. And you can get the NL or AL MVP Topps Chrome card and redeem it for credit at your local card shop. Well, we had over $15,000 worth of redemptions that were given to us at the shop. And people were excited because they brought in their Ohtanis and they brought in their Acunas. And they're like, do I get credit for this? And the answer is yes, absolutely. And then Topps pays it back to us as a card shop.
Yeah.
We don't make any money from it. But it drives people to the business as well as sells the Topps Chrome product as well. Now, they're doing that with this UFC product too. It's really unique. Are you familiar with it, Shep? Do you want to talk about it?
Well, I don't know who's in the fight.
Sure.
Because UFC is different. I don't follow UFC, but they have a fight come up, the 300th, right? Mm-hmm. And the winner of that's in this product, bring it in. They're going to be doing a similar type redemption of basically bringing in earn store credit, and we send it and we take care of it on the back end.
So,
you get to come in and shop.
So it's for UFC 300.
Yep.
So I'm going to look at the date when UFC 300
April
is.
April 13th.
So it's just a few weeks away. It's Jamal Hill.
Yep.
Versus Alex Pereira is how you pronounce it.
I'm picking
it.
Alex Pereira.
I'm picking Pereira. Well, I have investments.
I don't even
that,
know, but I just sound like that. He sounds like a fighter.
Well, and, do you know what his nickname is?
What?
Poetan. Stone Hands.
Oh.
He is the only guy.
Done.
I think he beat Izzy twice.
Yes. He beat one in kickboxing and one in UFC.
Yeah. So he is the current light heavyweight champion,
mm-hmm.
Alex Pereira, and it's spelled P-E-R-E-I-R-A.
Yes.
And he's fighting against Jamal Hill, who was the former champion but didn't lose it. By losing,
he had to forfeit.
He forfeit because he was injured.
Tore his Achilles last year.
Which then turned into a fight for the interim. The guys fought. It was Izzy and him, right?
No, it was Alex Pereira versus Yuri Prochazka.
Okay,
that was
Yuri,
in
that's right.
November, I believe. And Pereira knocked out. A little controversial because it wasn't it was a weird stoppage, but it was probably the right decision. Pereira was going to clean him up on the ground. And Pereira now is in 2 years in the UFC. Is the ninth only person ever to hold two titles in two divisions.
So here he is, that fight, Pereira versus Hill on April
13th.
The winner of that is the redemption.
Correct.
And so if you have a base card, we broke a box on Whatnot the other night. Emil was part of that break. He bought into that break. And somebody pulled, I was thumbing through and I go, oh, Jamal Hill. This is important because if he wins, that base card is a $20 credit at our store.
Wow.
So if you get a refractor version, it's $40. If you get numbered refractors, it can go all the way up to $200 credit.
Crazy.
And you don't have to buy UFC products. You can buy anything from it in that case.
Yep.
So here we are. We're just about finished, and Shep and I are going to get in the car. I don't know. Are you going to the show too?
Yeah, I got to stop by the bank, but I'll be there.
This guy.
Rob the bank.
Yeah, he's going to be.
Bring it.
Yeah, I have to go stop by the bank so I can look at my bank account, and it goes.
It's been a crying month.
In fact, Nate, there's only one sound when I look at my bank account because that's exactly how I feel.
It just laughs at you.
Thank you for me, Nate, Big Shep.
Love you guys.
And Emil Fragoso. We're here at the True Sports Card Show every Saturday at 10 a.m. We'll see you next Saturday. But if you're working right now, head over to the Wyndham Hotel off of Madison. And
don't forget to visit us at 6661 Stanford Ranch Road in Rockland.
Got the address right. Look at that.
916-259-1993.
And last thing, don't forget to meet us over at the True Sports Galleria. Don't forget we have two locations now.
Galleria.
All right, Nate, thanks for everything this morning for everybody. We'll see you next week.